A weak solidarity bricky team listener, when confected class infected the body of our society as contagiously as the pandemic that continues to infect our individual bodies, expressed on behalf of our classless society by the Trubler Aussie Capitalist Review, fingering the problems posed by this week's Canberra caring employers and lazy avaricious workers share a common interest talkfest. The evil unions it editorialised were dragging Trubler Aussie's outdated industrial relations system back to the early 20th century class conflict origins. Class struggle. Total anathema to caring employers who know there is no such thing. That if only caring employers and individual workers could sit down and negotiate, they would share what they have in common. The profits of the caring employers trickling down to the lazy avaricious. Expressed again by the Capitalist Review, caring employers could be picked off by a union-dominated summit agenda that is not in the best interests of promoting business-led prosperity, telling us we needed to get back to the liberalisation of the workplace that operated during work choices. Even though we still have, and this bit's me, not the Capitalist Review, even though we still now have no longer work choices, just looks like it, and to prove there is no such thing as class struggle, except in the demented minds of evil unions and lazy avaricious workers, caring employers and their puppets, or sorry, representatives, displayed their commitment to a classless society, like our old mate Innes Will Cost, the workers of the Trubler Aussie Industry Profits Group. Aren't we fortunate to have the benefit of Innes's wise counsel week after week, who said the caring business class associations, the good unions, must avoid working against each other to avoid getting picked off by evil unions. See which bit of that indicates class? None of it. And New South Wales Supremo Dominic Parrott-Bossizet warned evil unions had hijacked the agenda and that will fail to lift productivity and wages. See? Not even a hint of class differences between caring employers and the ingrates they employ. While Hayseed and Cheapshit Party Supremo David Little to be proud of displayed his commitment to a classless society with, "This is where the big hand of the unions have," sick, wrong tense, "big hand of the unions have decided they're high up on the steps. Now they've got a government that owes them its success because they pay the bill for them to get elected. They now have to pay this back, and they're going to pay it back with draconian laws." See, not even a hint of class differences, but the innate evil of a union movement bent on maintaining the myth of class struggle, that there are conflicts between caring employers and their workers, was expressed in a warning from that great advisor to caring employers and caring business class governments, Herbert Smith Free Kills the Workers, former home of caring business class party shadowy Minister for Caring Business Class Relations, Michaela Cost the Workers, who would never dream of bringing class into her balanced arguments. The great big end of town legal firm, which played a key role in drawing up the aforementioned good, no class struggle work choices. Partner Rowan Doyle, real name, warned the evil union sector-wide bargaining proposal would likely lead to a significant increase in strikes and could force businesses to move offshore, automate more roles, or close altogether. Come on, which bit of that reflects the slightest degree of class difference? Goodness me, doesn't the "we're all in this together" agenda of these wise Trubler Aussies expose the backwardness of the evil union's persistence with class rhetoric? Then, to make matters worse, Talkfest morning, we learned the invitation list was hopelessly lopsided. Well, biased, really. Also revealing the accuracy and integrity we have come to love in our mainstream media, as the Capitalist Review headlined, "Unions dominate meeting at the expense of employers. Trade unions will be punching well above their weight at this week's Jobs and Skills Summit, with their official constituting one quarter of the 143 invitees. 35 trade union officials, it went on. The first bit of accuracy is there are actually 33, but hell, they're so evil it seems there are more of them. And anyway, that would bring the one quarter back to 23%, not nearly as sexy. And obviously there must be loads fewer caring business class employers who would not be punching above their weight. Loads less than the 33. Well, perhaps the Capitalist Review might know all about counting profits, but a lesson in arithmetic wouldn't go astray, as there are 53 caring business class invitees, an infinitesimal 37% compared to the evil union's gargantuan 23%, all of which apparently shows the evil union's punching above their weight and the poor caring employers reeling from the blows. Well, at the expense of employers, as the headline headlined. Thank goodness we can rely on such accurate and honest journalism. True Blue Aussie was honoured, very fortunate, to host one of the world's greatest fighters for war is peace, US of the UN of the US of the world, lover of peace through train killing, John Beltham, a former war is peace advisor to former big supremo, brackets robbed, Donald Trump or the poor among others, who advised True Blue Aussie we must pour lots and lots more lovely, lovely money into the coffers of the US of merchants of death industry. Must create more ambitious train-killing, political and economic links across the region to address the strategic threat posed by evil China. Strategic threat, John. Absolutely. It threatens the US arms strategy of controlling the world economy. Oh, how evil. And let me add, it simply makes no sense to have trillions of lovely dollars tied up in merchants of death merchandise and not to use it. I'm a great believer in using all that merchants of death merchandise. I'm a great advocate of not wasting all those lovely dollars. And then after you've used the merchants of death merchandise, you can buy lots more. Win-win. If you're still here. Peace is worth fighting and dying for. Other people fighting and dying, John. Part of a well-structured, classless society. And John says the US of, and presumably with the True Blue Aussie as usual in its coattails, can thwart evil China by abandoning the One China policy, recognizing Taiwan, and establishing a US of train killer base there. Send in the Marines, like it has bases almost everywhere else, preserving peace through train killing. My word, he is on the ball, isn't he? Because establishing a military base in Taiwan to deter evil China should work a treat. Well, from his point of view, it would work a treat. He would enjoy the train killing he so cherishes, as long as other people are doing the kill and be killed bit. Of course, John was one of the so-called neocons who so wisely advised another former US Ob Supremo, George W. Bash, the workers. Indeed, John made the other neocons look like peaceniks. Thanks to him, for instance, just this week, 23 people were killed and 140 injured in clashes between the two factions claiming to be the government of Libya. Exactly. What was evil Libya is now enjoying the benefits of being liberated by the US Army and our very good friends. Your very good friends, John. And they continue to be very good friends as long as they do what we tell them. Once again, another of those very good friends, liberty, freedom and democracy love and Saudi Prince Mohammed bin Salman oil man, displayed why he is a favourite of all who love a little bit of liberty, freedom and democracy, like John Beltham and current US Ob Supremo Joe Biden Capital and, well, True Blue Aussie for that matter, and of course, that bastion of democracy and freedom Zion by... Well, there have to be some limits to freedom so liberty, freedom and democracy can flourish. Little limits like it's a capital crime to express opposition to the prince and his extended family of Democrats. A young bloke arrested in 2017 when he was 21 for demonstrating. demonstrating what a criminal. Several years earlier, when he was much younger than 21, and a major crime figure arrested in 2014 when he was 19 for the heinous crimes of participating in demonstrations and marches, attending funerals for victims of the royal family's policies, and wait for it, the cruelest and most serious crime of all, distributing water during demonstrations. For those crimes, and after being held in a friendly Saudi jail for all these years, this week both young men were sentenced to death. Doubtless, yet again, the response from the usual liberty, freedom and democracy-loving world will be silence. John might even congratulate Bin Salman Oilman for his commitment to law and order and liberty and freedom and democracy. And there won't be too many young Saudis demonstrating and marching against the sentences and or committing the capital crime of providing them with water. The pejorative Dan government has come under attack for its unreasonable maintenance of compulsory masks on public transport and on dear little children in their classrooms, defying the sensible capitulation to caring employers' insistence that workers with COVID should go to work and not stay in isolation. With Chamber of Retail Profit Supremo Paul Guerra for War on Silly Restrictions, announcing that 13-year-olds with COVID could go to work because they already have it and therefore couldn't catch it, and they only had to be paid a pittance. Having said that, we are totally opposed to child labour, but everyone knows 13-year-olds' place should be in the workplace and not in a classroom. Which makes a lot of sense. Supporting great caring employers like the airline which used to be our airline's Alan Joystick, who certainly knows it's okay to travel on one of his planes without a mask, if and when you can finally make it onto one of his planes, and great thinkers like our old mate Innes will cost the workers. Yet ignoramuses like the doctors, the AMA, have had the temerity to ask the government to show it the expert advice on which the further lifting of COVID restrictions was based. Thankfully, the health minister agreed to reveal the expert opinion. Paul Innes, they want our expert advice. Could you give us another copy? Ever generous, Paul and Innes and their sundry chambers of profits agreed, although they questioned what business the lifting of COVID restrictions had to do with the medical profession. And finally, back where we started. Our chief health advisor and caring business class relations expert, Innes, commenting on the class rubbish of the evil unions at the Talkfest, a clear red line for industry is the potential for unions to engage in industrial action in pursuit of multi-party bargaining claims. This has the potential to shut down key parts of our economy. Shame, a disgrace. Showing how all this has brought the caring business class and evil unions together so successfully. Although it would have been even more successful but for the evil unions raising class where class doesn't exist. If but lazy Aborigines workers could be satisfied with that yellow liquid trickling down. Good morning.